2012 to 22, we were in that phase where offline retail was an absolute taboo. Then after 2022, saying that bhai, offline retail / EBO, this is like the model to back.
A Bluestone is basically like a 45,000 AOV product or company, but with just 5% online sale. So omnichannel for them means Instagram page where you discover me online, but come to transact with me offline.
My limited point is the Mokobaras and the lab-grown diamonds and all of these models finally got VC love because people started realizing ki yaar isme paisa hai.
Revenue per store per month is the ultimate goal. If you can get 3,000 rupees revenue per store per month, which I thought ki ye to ho hi jayega. But it's not easy yaar. Kirane ki dukaan mein 3,000 rupees per store per month is very high. Hum log 1,000 nahi pahunch paate yaar.
I don't know how the Ken pulled us out, but as per the Ken, FY25 Dream Sports had spent 3,000 crore in ads. Meta India ad sales was close to 3.5 billion.
Is this a regulatory fix to an advertising problem, like the money going out of the country through Meta and Google, like a reverse signal on the tariff?
I have this theory on why Trump has become so pro-Pakistan, going against India on everything possible.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 42 of the Asymmetric Podcast. Today we are joined by one of our favorite guests, Tushar. Tushar is a principal at Gladebrook Capital, but has come on the podcast before and amazed me for sure, because that's the first interaction I had with him, with his very sharp, incisive commentary on markets, companies, and inputs for founders. Today, as always, he has come super well prepared with a point of view and hypothesis on omnichannel businesses, with a specific insight into Lenskart, Bluestone, and Wakefit, but super relevant for all founders building in the consumer space. Especially founders like Revant and I, for example, Chirag also, all of us kind of think about offline, online, acquiring consumers, AOVs, separate categories, how to do merchandising, price sensitivity. These are all super top of mind strategic elements for us. And Tushar has come with a very detailed analysis. And the link to that analysis will be in the description. But episode 42 is about just double clicking on all of these elements, especially given the recent listing of Bluestone. Tushar, welcome to Asymmetric episode 42 and thanks for making the time.
Thanks, Shantanu. Thanks, Revant, for having me on. I thought since coming on the last episode, given the way the world has changed and given what we discussed on that episode, I thought I'm never going to get an invite back. But thanks for having me on, guys.
Awesome. We will also be missing Chirag today because he's on personal leave, but we'll welcome him back next week and hope you guys enjoy the episode. Stay tuned. What is this bypassing the dollar trade lanes? Is it real?
Yeah, it, look, so I think if you trace back though, and now it's funny, given you compare it to my last podcast episode to now, where we were talking about let's cozy up to America and, you know, let's become friends with them, and feeling so embarrassed looking at that podcast episode, because last time I came, it was episode number 26, I think. And that time we were talking about tariffs and how that is an opportunity for India. Now we are sitting on 50% tariffs. Then we were doing Operation Sindoor. Like that day itself, Operation Sindoor happened. Oh, sorry, the Pahalgam attacks happened and then Operation Sindoor happened. We were talking about how you have to reduce reliance on China and replace it, right? And now it has become, let's cozy up to China and become friends with them. So within, like, I think there's 2 months and 15 episodes, I think the entire world has changed beneath us. So I don't know what to say now. I will only now stick to no prophesizing, only facts.
The organization that you work for, Tushar, and represent is a US headquartered fund that is a growth fund that deploys in India as well. Like, if your peers ask you, ki bhai, kya ho raha hai India mein, this is what you say, right? This is normal 6 weeks in India.
Normal 6 weeks in India. This is normal 6 weeks in India. Get used to it. I think what this obviously does is it reduces investor confidence, especially in sectors which are sensitive to regulations, especially in sectors where, you know, you are touching or trying to monetize users at the bottom of the pyramid and all of that stuff. There was like meaningful capital riding on all of these companies. Like look at Dream 11, look at Games 24/7. Winzo, Provo, like meaningful capital, yeah. Dollar denominated meaningful capital, which was on these companies. $20 billion plus of market cap across these 7-8 companies. And it was the most profitable consumer internet sector also. If you think about it, there is no other sector, maybe apart from F&O or close to that, which was as profitable as this industry was. So it definitely takes us two steps forward, one step backwards type of a situation.
To be fair to investors, if you see the cohort of investors that took a punt on this sector, it was not a very deep set. Like, I remember because, you know, we were at Kstar to, I think you had joined 6 months after the Winzodi, right? It was my first being from Kstar. And I remember how hard it was to get Winzo a Series A because people would be like, yeah, this sector, we are not very sure how the government looks at it. So, to be fair to most investors, always took a skeptical view about real money gaming because they were like, we know that the Indian government is not very, it's which side of the bed you will wake up on kind of situation may happen in this sector.
Even that's the problem, right? Like, if the government policy is not consistent and known, then how do businesses take action? That was the entire problem with Trump moving the tariffs up and down. Aaj pause kar dete hain, aaj chala dete hain, so frequently, right? That the business environment basically just froze in the US. No one was willing to put more capex investments. No one was expanding capacity because they were like, boss, I don't know which country I should ally with. People were saying, let's do India. Now India suddenly in a tough spot, right? People were then saying, let's do Vietnam. Then Vietnam became in a tight spot. So it just so this uncertainty obviously harms business environment in a very, very meaningful manner. And some of it is what you see immediately that, okay, some investors lost money. But some of it will be structural and long-term. Some guys will just say, why even bother? Let's do that incremental two deals a year that I want to do in India. Let me just do that in the US.
No, that I agree. I'm not saying that that will not happen. Especially with firms like yours who may be doing 10 deals in the US in a year and maybe 2 deals or 3 deals a year in India, right? And therefore, they'll say, yeah, maybe the incremental exposure, the risk reward doesn't make sense because there's a potential reward that the India consumption story may throw up a bunch of great deals. But there could be a potential impact on the reverse side as well, right? What I meant to say was, I think there is so much more beyond these, beyond the RMG sector. You're like $20 billion of value had by design accrued in across these companies. But I at least see that a majority of the investor base had in some way or form not taken a bet here. Like, they had stayed away from, if I can call it that.
I would say it was also demand and supply. Given that most capital here is accrued to those 7-8 companies only, right? And those 7-8 companies became profitable so early on in their journeys that they didn't have to raise capital in the future, right? Even you will see that back till up to like 2023, there were secondary transactions happening across these companies. That means there was an investor appetite. And that investor appetite came from two fronts, I would say, especially one was COVID, right? With COVID, digital consumption, all of those things spurred up a lot. And this sector was a beneficiary of that. Second was increasingly, there was a sense that this sector will now have a framework under which it will have to operate. And people were taking bets under that framework, right? So, for example, there was that game of
Game
of Chance.
No, post that, there was a GST clarity as well. Yeah. Technically, everyone believed that, in fact, 18th or 28th BUA. And in fact, at least what Harsh is on record saying that as soon as the rumors of the sin tax came up that 40% GST may be applicable here, they were trying to reach out to the government and understand if it will be applicable. And in some way or form, actually, if you look at the FY25 numbers of all these companies, even with 28% GST, they are like massive profit. So even with 40% GST, they would be okay.
Actually, with 28% tax on depositors, that was the first year that Dream 11 went negative on profits. Because of the tax application, because the value proposition of the business became very little or like reduced meaningfully for the customer. So that's why after 3 or 4 years of being in profits and like being massively profitable, they went negative for the first time. But the understanding was that, okay, we will now build from here. The things like taxation, things like these rulings, government, you know, giving you some framework to operate in, give you a playing field that this is the law of the land and you operate within those lanes.
I think that but the timing is important, right? I think there were other things which are pressing. Suddenly it became critical. So that's what I don't understand.
Anybody's guess at this point, Shantanu, honestly. Like, there is lots of conspiracy theories going around. But what is clear is that there was no consultation which happened. Monday, media houses started reporting it. Tuesday, it was tabled.
Yeah.
It's very surprising. You know, this is a government and a ministry of commerce that actually has increased significant dialogue with the industry, right? They'll call founders for everything. Even like, you know, bilateral trade discussions, suddenly there'll be like Aman Gupta and like, you know, there'll be like Chandra is there in like one third of the meetings. They do that. But on this particular thing, it was completely done without industry, any industry consensus. And I read this somewhere that is this a regulatory fix to an advertising problem? Like we bought, like the money going out of the country through Meta and Google. Is this a way to give a signal, like a reverse signal on the tariffs? So we'll stop the, like, I don't know.
Yeah, by the way, it's the biggest advertiser on Meta and Google. RMG is bigger than e-com.
How much is it, Revant?
Almost 52% of Meta Google, apparently. I may be wrong, but at least the grapevine I'm hearing is between 10 to 15% of Meta Google's revenues. It's the biggest, as a group, it was the biggest spender. I don't know how the Ken pulled this out, but as per the Ken, FY25 Dream Sports had spent 3,000 crore in ad spend. This is from accounting audited numbers. So 3,000 plus 1,500 Gamescraft plus 1,500 Games 24/7. So this is 6,000. Plus, baki sab mila ke $1 billion to yahi hai, and total ad spend hai. So this will include TV. So, plus there are a lot of small players. But main bolu, and some numbers are FY24 aur ye. But my rough math, was that on a monthly basis, I think these guys were spending close to about 1,000 crores a month, of which Meta Google, I don't know how much it would be, but barring IPL, jahan beech mein poker bazi aaya tha ya uske pehle Dream Sports tha, that's very lumpy, right? So your day-to-day expense would still be there. So 500 crores a month is easy in my view.
So kitna hi trade matlab aapka impact hoga usse basically.
Nahi trade nahi, main bolu from a Meta Google advertising income perspective, it was 10-15% is accurate hai, what I'm hearing. So I was triangulating that. Was for a Meta Google, 10-15% is a big hit to the ad.
I mean, it's like, yeah. India P&L. I mean, it's the India P&L, sure. Uska 10-15% hai. Global larger scheme of things, so it doesn't even matter.
Right? Yeah.
What that essentially does is only shoots you because local teams are the first ones who will get fired.
Actually, but interestingly, if you see, everybody's now looking at India very, very, very favorably. Yeah? Like, we used to talk about the Meta ARPUs, right? I don't know if you covered this in a previous episode. But Meta ARPU in India used to be longest time down to like $3-4. And everyone would be like, yeah, $3-4 mein kya nahi hoga. But FY25, apparently, Meta India ad sales was close to $3.5 billion. So, and roughly about 600 plus million users. So, the ARPU is now increasing drastically. Top 100 million mein toh kaafi bar gaya. It's almost like $12-15 in the top 500 million. Jo quick-com audience hai.
Hmm.
But abhi kya base ekdam se bada ho gaya na. Instamart or Instagram or YouTube ka. So, they are now dhire monetizing the next 500 million also. Same, jo Meesho ka aise AOV 300 rupay hai aur Amazon ka 2000. Like, wo jo gap hai, wo gap inko bhi advertising mein dikhta hai. But the top 100 million, which is a decent size, like US total is 300 million users for Meta, where I think ARPU is north of $50. But India will soon get there. For the top 100 million, we'll get to like $50 in the next 5 years. So, they know that abhi agle 5-10 saal ka growth pura yahin se aane wala
hai. I also sometimes wonder, right? If I think about the government's role, philosophically, government's role is to protect the weakest people in the society, right? And we have around 75 crore people who kind of are in that zone. And I always think of, you know, I always get like a weirdly uncomfortable feeling seeing how much this large group of people has been trying to be monetized by creators, by America. Like, have you seen a number of people from the US who come to India, started roaming the streets just to get followership so that they can get better brand deals and more money can move through them because, you know, a bunch of people who earn less than 1 lakh rupees a year are following them now in all towns and villages of India, right? Yeah. As government, I would, I would feel like this is a problem that is, and then what in the second order impact of that is a bunch of these folks have now easy access to Meta, Google, etc., to Meta essentially, who then feel like this is the way to make money. And then I don't know if you guys have seen the kind of content that is coming out. And then if I were the government, I'm like, this is time being taken away from productive means to take the nation forward for all our Viksit Bharat goals. So you have to cut this off in some shape or form. So ye gaming ho gaya, tum naach rahe ho gaano pe, etc. ho gaya, tum aake ISO Speed or Mr. Beast ke content ko dekhe Mr. Beast ko rich bana rahe ho, while you get nothing out of it.
Yeah, but Chandru, what we're talking about then is very similar to what China did with all those edtech companies and all those gaming companies, yeah. Essentially.
I am 100% sure there is...
China has the Dayun, jahan pe log naach ke bechte hain maal. Matlab...
Unko paisa milta hai na? Paisa unko milta hai na?
Why Trump has become so pro-Pakistan and why he has become anti-India and basically, you know, going against India on everything possible. Which is that, if you look at the flow of events, while India and Pakistan were in a warlike situation during Operation Sindoor, Pakistan got a $2 billion loan from the IMF, which was effectively controlled by the US. India said, please don't give it, because ultimately that money was going to be used against us, but US said, oh, we'll give it. I think in the next couple of days or the next like 3-4 days, the Pakistan's National Crypto Council, which did not exist in the day before, was suddenly sprung up and bought $500 million of equity in Trump's World Financial Project or World Crypto Financial Project.
I think Melania Coin bhi kharida na kuch to unne.
Yes, Melania Coin. Yeah, so basically that company issues Trump Coin and Melania Coin. And uska $500 million ka equity Pakistan ka National Crypto Project, which did not exist till last week. Because funny enough, Pakistan mein crypto banned abhi bhi. So the central government can buy it, but the user cannot buy it.
IMF se loan leke Trump ke coin mein ja raha
hai. Loan leke wo to kisi aur ka paisa hai na. And wo jab fir Trump coin mein ja raha hai to matlab
let go back, right? India actually before consumer internet boomed, most of it was private equity and private capital. VC didn't exist and private equity would go after retail plays because consumerism was largely offline retail, right? Then there was a phase I remember, like I still remember when Rebel was just Fasos and Fasos was a quick service restaurant, right? I remember trying to raise capital and everyone would say a linear model, non-venture backable model, right? And I got tired of that. I used to go to most growth stage. I remember Series B, we had raised some 100 crores. So uske liye jo papad milne pade the. Yes, the business economics were not that great also. But fundamentally, people would get stuck at the fact that, yaar, aap kitna dukaan daloge? Fir aap 10 dukaan daloge, fir kya hi banega karke? And 2012 to 22, we were in that phase where offline retail was an absolute taboo. Then after 2022, we've gone absolutely berserk on the other side saying that, bhai, offline retail / EBO, this is like the model to back. So, I want to understand ki why, yes, Lenskart has done well. Bluestone, which pivoted from online to offline, which followed CaratLane, which was online to offline. And now there's the lab-grown diamond and there's enough mattress companies and enough and more EBO-led models. Every fashion company, Snitch, Soulstore, these are all fundamentally offline EBO-led models. Right?
EBO.
Pehle 5 saal, 2008-12 mein, sabne screw-up kar diya, aray, ye khasti sector hai. Phir 10 saal kuch hua nahi. फिर लोग मरा मरा के बनाते गए अब सब आईपीओ जा रहे तो सब बोल रहे वाह 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 बहुत बढ़िया सेक्टर है करके या कुछ फंडामेंटली चेंज हुआ है
नहीं आई वुड से कि सो इफ यू लुक एट द जर्नी ऑफ ऑल ऑफ दीस कंपनीज लाइक वी आर ओनली टॉकिंग अबाउट थ्री टुडे व्हिच हैव कम आउट रिसेंटली विद देयर डीआरएच लेंसकार्ट ब्लूस्टोन व्हिच वेंट पब्लिक एंड बिगफिट बट ब्रॉडली लाइक यू सेड सोलस्टोर रेयर रैबिट Like there's a bunch of like all of these omni-channel online to offline EBO companies, right, which exist in the world.
But by the way, none of them have got great valuations at entry from private companies. Like if I go back to Soulstore 2021, like 3x per deal hua yaar. Aaj bhi people will value apparel a little lower because Bokalas is public and stuff. But if I see what the public, like when Soulstore or Snitch or Rare Rabbit goes public, you will see much higher valuations than what private market has offered. By design, because the ROSI, EBITDA, and ये सब तो पहले भी clear था ना. The math on offline EBO was always clear. नहीं क्या?
Yeah, नहीं. So Rehan, I would say that if you first look at all these three companies, apart from Wakefield, which started in 2015, I think,
Bluestone is a 2013 company and Linskart is a 2011 company, right? So both of all of these companies have been around for like 10 plus years. So the thought process that offline takes a little longer to scale is not wrong. It is correct.
They also right? pivoted. To be fair, Wakefit started as an Amazon first mattress selling business. I remember when Sequoia did the Series A. Lenskart was an online firm that eventually went offline. Wo to sabki parvarish hai. First kahin pehle online tha, fir offline heavy ho gaya.
It is now online gives you the ability to start a brand and test value proposition far quicker. So you start with that. You don't have, like, with offline, you're going with, let's say, one store, right? That's all the capital you have, or five store, that's all the capital you have. So you're only in one city, you're constrained, right? E-commerce, D2C, as well as marketplaces, gives you the ability to start quicker, be more iterative, and cement the value proposition in the mind of the customer in a much more deeper sense. However, as you start scaling online, it hits a certain cap where your ROAS start going down. Right, where you, and you guys know this much better than I do, so just add to that. But where you start feeling that I'm hitting a cap on growth as well as in ROAS, that what I've built is a strong supply chain, is a strong network, is a strong brand position, and now I know what my channel, market, and product fit essentially looks like. Right, so now I have the confidence to invest more money in building the offline part of my strategy, which is where I can add new categories, I can add new SKUs, I can make myself more accessible, right, to the broader audience, keep going deeper and deeper, keep densifying my network of stores and locations. And that becomes my scale driver, because at the end of the day, e-commerce is what, like, still 15% of consumption at best, right? Like 10 to 15% of consumption at best. So the rest, 85% of the market, you have to get to somehow. And that somehow then becomes offline for you. Which is why I would expect that for all consumer brands, which have a high enough AOV, they will do more and more EBOs and, you know, more and more offline once they hit a certain scale wall on what they could reach online. Now, that could mean different scale walls for different categories. Like for, again, we'll see for Bluestone versus for Wakefield versus for Lenskart. It means different things. And when, like, where omnichannel truly works, where something is more offline truly works, will depend on each category. But my sense is that it is not that, oh, it has just come back in vogue because it is fashionable to do it, but rather the survivors who will win the online race will then consolidate their positioning to get to the next 85% of the market by using EBOs as the next leg of distribution for them.
My also, I think we can sweat the asset also a lot more. No? Like, for example, omnichannel just doesn't mean you're in multiple channels. It means each channel starts becoming multi-consumer use case, right? So, for example, someone who comes to a UBO will buy online. It becomes impression. Like, in today's cluttered world, impressions are expensive anyways. If you have like an EBO at the airport or an EBO in a high footfall place where people can touch it, even if they don't buy, they'll come and buy later. So, all of that osmosis of consumer goes up. Also, I think, Revrevant, specifically your example of food, I think you also start seeing restaurants start being able to kind of become, being able to service people who are not sitting there, right? Through cloud kitchens or other kind of infra. Yeah. You can start seeing both videos coming to stores.
We pivoted to cloud kitchen because we realized that isme, no, I'll tell you where specifically this comes up, right? Like today, now, because there's so much money going into offline EBO retail models, you today have models that start as offline EBOs and VCs are funding it. So, by the way, clinics, jewelry chains, like Jeeva actually was very little time, wo bhi pivot kiya tha, but now you have jewelry chains starting offline and log bol rahe hain, paisa le lo karke. So,
generally, very strong, like, very high AOV and very high risk.
Answer is AOV.
To order.
Shandar, answer is high AOV. It's very clear.
Actually, it's
so, high AOV nahi hota.
I'll show you this, right? Which is that, that AOV is not the only consideration, essentially. Because if I were to... This x-axis is percentage of online sales. Y-axis is the AOVs. Just between these three companies. Fashion, when I add to it, it will all get cluttered up. Because there will be a Zudio, which is like entirely offline, but very low AOVs and all of that stuff. So I just kept it to these three companies. But a Bluestone is basically like a 45,000 AOV product or company. But with just 5% online sales. So omnichannel for them means Instagram page where you discover me online, but come to transact with me offline, right? Now a Lenskart, even though the AOV is lower than a Wakefield's AOV, But because the product requires a very high degree of customization, look and feel, right? That ends up being less online than even a Wakefit is. Because in Lenskart's case, the complexity is many, many orders of magnitude. Because there can be so many frames, then there can be so many powers, and then there can be so many materials. So you combine all that together, like each Lenskart store can theoretically customize more than 1 million combinations of what they can offer the customer, right? Which is insane. So there, the AOV becomes important. Whereas even in Wakefit's case, they don't give it, unfortunately, category by category, but on what is offline, what is online. But a mattress category is largely online now. Whereas a furniture category is heavily, heavily skewed towards offline. Because there is an assisted buying experience versus a standardization of the product. Like a mattress, you know, ki itne inch ka mujhe mattress chahiye. And you just measure your room and, you know, you just put it on the website. But in furniture scale, because I want to see the size, look and feel, etc., it becomes different. So I don't think AOV is there. And by the way, in Wakefit's case, the AOV for mattress is higher than the AOV for furniture. Because their furniture are mostly like small tables and chairs, etc. For the furniture, AOV is like 4,500 rupees. Mattress is around like 9,500 rupees. So, but because the mattress is a standard product, you know what you are getting. You just order it online. Whereas the furniture, look and feel, I'll test it, see if it's comfortable, this and that. You will go offline to buy it.
I have not been to a Wakefit store, but I can assume that a Wakefit and a Sleep Company are kind of parallels. But Sleep Company, I went there because of my back. Yeah, for my back, I want a hard mat. Boss, the kind of stuff they have done in terms of, you know, the way they make you experience the mattress, there are material ka kuch alag alag ek counter hai, then tum baith ke dekh sakte ho. It's like nothing I have experienced before. So
yeah.
That is stuff you cannot do on a 2D screen. So it is exactly incredible.
So yeah, it was the limited point I was making, Tushar, that I think the assumption that mattress online bikta hai was a starting point. I think there are enough mattresses now sold even for Wakefit offline. They started furniture late, but they've been offline now for a long time. And they don't break up the AOV but private investors in this company, if you talk to them, they'll tell you that the offline AOV for any brand that is omnichannel is 30 to 40% higher than online AOV. So if the mattress being sold in a Wakefit online is 10,000, where mattress only revenue would have a higher AOV in the offline. Because the potential for upselling and saying, yaar, aap ye nahi, aap ye wala mattress lo, acha, aapka lower back pain isse kam hoga, like ye wala material lo, ispe aap ye cover le lo, etc., is much higher, na? Like, if it's like you're going to the McDonald's and they're asking you, make it a meal, single cheese or double cheese. There is no cheese option.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think if you see here, the bulk of the market is sitting for them. It's like that standard memory foam type of mattress only. So I'm saying, while you're right, the AOVs will be higher because you can do a lot more customization, etc. If the bulk of the market does not need it, then a best around.
So they have not innovated. The Sleep Company has gone on a very big performance, like we understand sleep. While Wakefit started that, you know, we are technically like their entire marketing was, if you remember the campaign, right? The sleep intern, people will come and just sleep. It was great marketing. I mean, unfortunately, that positioning has now been taken over by Sleep Company because the name of the brand is Sleep Company.
Yeah.
You know how strong the memory structure gets created. Plus, they have really focused their advertising on their core USP, which is performance. That we really understand sleep to a level that we have technology SSS up kiya hua hai, which is where I think the AOVs are a little higher for them. But
yeah.
Coming back limited point, I still think yeah, anything above 5,000 rupees is AOV. And even in apparel, by the way, individual company might be 1500 rupees, but the AOV for a sold store offline is close to the 4,000 rupee plus mark, whereas online would be about 2,000. So at 4,000 rupee AOV, na, EBO aaram se aapka ban jayega.
Chal jata hai. Bilkul.
Right?
I think the economics...
My limited point is the Mokobaras and the lab-grown diamonds and all of these models finally got VC love because people started realizing ki yaar isme paisa hai. Or we can keep saying ki linear model hai, but paisa banta hai. There is profitable Zebita in every store. You could effectively put 100 odd stores and mota moti make 100 crore Zebita at least. I think Go Colors IPO maybe was the trigger, but somewhere that changed. And now I'm seeing at least a lot more interest in being okay to underwrite even at a seed and series A stage, offline EBO first models.
Yeah. So I would say ki, at least coming back to the earlier point that I was making, I feel it is still that let's create cement value proposition and brand positioning, customer fit online first, because that is the quickest one for us to get off the ground. And then once we feel that we have achieved that, then let's start going offline, because the bulk of the market is still sitting there and it has its allied benefits. The economics are good. Now, how quickly can you scale that is your ability to be able to do it. Like a Lenskart is still adding like 200 stores per year.
How is the yaar? Wo to cookie cutter hai na uska to. Much smaller stores than.
But aapko scale karne ke liye waise hi karoge na. Matlab you will create a standard box which you can put at multiple places. Even Bluestone is adding like 80 to 90 odd stores per year now. Carrot Lane is still adding 50-60 stores a year now. So it's not. I mean, while people say ki thik hai, hum log scale karna mushkil hai, sab kuch hai. But yeah, establishing that positioning is obviously tough. But once you do it, then it is a very scalable playbook and model. Then I think the other interesting thing, which I think is actually counterintuitive to all of our VC learning, is how backward and vertically integrated all of these companies are. All of them have massive manufacturing facilities, which are being which are essentially factories that they're running and are running at very high utilization. But that gives them that product iteration impact, that gives them that margin expansion also. In Lenskart's case, even more so, because a lot of the supply chain is outside of India, does not sit in India. They were the ones who pioneered and created that. And because of that, if you see on this page, they have been able to win like some 20% plus of margin, which they would have otherwise given to various intermediaries through the chain. And this is, by the way, still when they are only manufacturing about 30% of their own products in frames and 12% of lenses. So as that keeps on going up, you will expect that to show up a lot more in the bottom line. Same for Bluestone. Bluestone's own manufacturing capacity is like 80% utilized. But all of their products are now manufactured in-house. So I would say...
I love Lenskart. Like on this, I don't know if you've ever seen. But Piyush basically welcomes all these creators and influencers to the factory. Takes them through the factory. Then they ask questions. Unke chashme bante wahi pe. Aur badhiya sa wo content banta hai, which is so interesting to see. That, you know, that this is very typical to like a factory lagali, like a, you know, a Goodyear or a SEAT would do that like 40 or 50 years back. And we are kind of back into that, like this whole D2C tech first thing comes back down to like this setting up a very state-of-the-art factory and telling the world that, you know, be proud about most.
Like the Lenskart factory, I've been there. It's like, it's fantastic. It's a global SOTA level. And say for like, even if you look at Bluestone, right? They now have three facilities. And their older facilities are operating at 80% plus utilization. What else can you ask from them? Right? They are doing a good job at running that factory.
In your view, all these omnichannel retail heavy businesses, which are high AOV, are doing this to increase gross margin or reduce dependencies on increase quality or build moats? What is the core driver for everyone to vertically integrate?
I think, Revan, it's a combination of all three. In Lenskart's case, it is reducing reliance on middlemen and suppliers, which then basically builds moats and shows up in your margin. In Bluestone's case, it is to maintain the speed at which you want to iterate designs. And it is to ensure that the quality that the consumer gets and the authenticity that the consumer gets is Bluestone certified. In Wakefit's case, it I think is more to bring down the unit costs over time, because like you said, they're not doing much on the product innovation side, but still their gross margin has actually increased, both because of cross sell but also as you see their manufacturing capacity scale up. I think it's a bit of everything.
Yeah, Wakefit's starting point was they used to always manufacture for day one. Actually mattress mein thoda sa moat. थोड़ा डे वन से ही होता है वो. इंटरेस्टिंगली ऑल थ्री आर वर्टिकली इंटीग्रेटेड.
या
आई डोंट नो इफ यू नो, लाइक आई डोंट थिंक सोल स्टोर मैन्युफैक्चरर्स देयर ओन क्लोथ्स. सो दे नो, आई डोंट थिंक सो.
आई थिंक फैशन में कम है. फैशन में मैन्युफैक्चरिंग योरसेल्फ इज लेस ऑफ अ ट्रेंड. फैशन में वर्टिकल इंटीग्रेशन वर्क्स टू द एक्सटेंट ऑफ कि डिजाइन आर माई ओन. लाइक इफ यू थिंक अबाउट अ ज़ारा और समवन एल्स, दे डोंट इवन डिजाइन देयर क्लोथ्स इन मोस्ट केसेस, राइट? They will give you a mood board and ask the factories to showcase ki, yaar, these are the products that we have, and then they pick the best and show it. So there, that's the level of, so they are not vertically integrated there. I think the fashion first, fast fashion, trendy brands in India Like a Ray Rabbit has a massive design team. I've spent some time with them to see that. But they have a massive design team, which then shows up because Ray Rabbit is such a unique signature of the kind of clothes they do.
This will apply to, let's think of what else could become a growth stage investment slash IPO in the next 5 years, right? Let's take a Mokobara, for example. There's a lot of accusation that, yaar, aap China se manga rahe ho. Would, if you were an investor in Mokobara, would you recommend to them that, yaar, ek factory dal do, ya ek factory khareed lo, jo safari ke liye banata hoga, ya VIP ke liye banata hoga, ya exclusive tie-up kar lo. Would this be a course of decision-making for companies like that?
I would say, everyone, it's stage-gated. First is, ki online chalu karo. Prove me that...
Today, let's say there are 300 crore, 350 crore business.
I'm just using this as a framework overarching. Start online. Prove it to me that you have an audience. Prove it to me that your business has customer market fit, right? Then, okay, let's expand channels. Let's get to a scale. Okay? And then let's put up a manufacturing capacity eventually. Because if you are running a factory and that's running a 20% utilization, that does not make sense. And you don't want to be creating these small factories because then the economics will never make sense anyways for you. So you want to create a large-scale factory. But to get a large-scale factory, you need to aggregate large-scale demand. And for you to aggregate large-scale demand, you need to capture that 85% of the market. But to get to the right to play in that 85% of the market is for you to first prove it to me online that you can do it. Or that there is demand for your brand signature, there is demand for your product, there is demand for the innovation that you're trying to build, and that you know how to run this business. So it's a journey of company life rather than, I would say, a straitjacket solution that let's start doing this from day zero or day one.
Well, it's eerie, right?
Eventually.
If businesses in US and China, in across sectors, scale to like $200, $400, $500 billion revenue without getting into manufacturing. But India mein, we had asked this question to Samir also, right, Shantanu, that why don't you get into, but obviously he's not getting into, at some point of time he'll get an exclusive tie-up for protein supply, but he's now getting into his own manufacturing, which is broadly assembly, like you import the protein and then you still blend it, but you still want to do it because I think from a supplement perspective, it makes sense from a quality control perspective, right? Like, for example, even in the BPC space, Unilever has exclusive tie-ups, like a Marico has exclusive tie-ups, ki ye factory sirf mere liye chalega karke, and mera hi QC ka banda hoga. So why do you think India mein ye hota hai ki, is it because you want a moat, because there's no IP, or you just want quality control?
Riyad, I would say that US mein, I don't know, I know very little about China, so I won't comment on that, but US mein, the companies get to that scale without having their own manufacturing, but still having captive units somewhere else in the world. Or having like a large share of some unit capacity somewhere else in the world. That is because US manufacturing for them is far more expensive than it is to do somewhere else. Right? But if you remember, we have spoken about this company called Athletic Greens quite a bit. Right? Mm. Athletic Greens had like a proprietary formulation. Right? They used to source, it's a US brand which scaled up really well. Now, that company had like a proprietary formulation. Now, people can claim how proprietary, not proprietary, etc. doesn't matter. But they would aggregate, their own teams would go and aggregate ingredients from 50 different sources, right? And then they would manufacture all of that in New Zealand and in China, which were their captive facilities, right? So, even in Apple, for example, Foxconn is effectively a captive facility for Apple, right? The facilities that they run for them. So, I think that US wala comparison, I don't think is like for like. But in India, it is clear that as you keep scaling up and you want to keep improving your margin, improve your resilience, improve your moats, you will have to keep going backwards in the supply chain, keep integrating further backwards.
So the guy who made our first shaving cream, Revanth, you probably know him, Samir Kothari, is a promoter at Hindustan Foods, has a totally opposite journey. He comes from contract manufacturing, so he knows how to set factories and sell to Reckitt and HUL and Colgate of the world. He's a contract manufacturer for them. But then now is because of that, he's now started building out his own brands. Today is worth 6,500-7,000 crores, operating at 50-55 PE. And kind of gone the other way. So he said, I will set up the factory, etc. myself. And manufacturers typically would not know how to build brands. That's usually the issue. Like Foxconn, like we don't know how to build a brand. China's classic, right? We don't know how to build a brand. In India, you guys take it, build a brand, we'll write label it for you. But he's basically saying, we'll build. So then there's a Lenskart model, which is, kind of contracted out. Builds a brand, and then vertically integrate backward. And then there's a Hindustan Foods model, which is, hey, we know how to do the manufacturing, and then now we'll start getting into brand building. And both of those are kind of very similar to the omni-channel thing.
They will converge together, Shatru. It is about what does the entrepreneur think at the starting point is their core skill set that they can bring to the table at that point. Starting point kahin se bhi karoge, you will, the intent for them is to expand margins, because everyone is looking at someone else's P&L and saying, boss, why is this guy making so much money? I should be making that margin, right?
Yeah.
So you keep moving backwards or upwards depending on that.
I remember even Indigo Paints at very early in their journey, right after their Series A or Series B, I think they had gone and acquired a factory in Coimbatore, which had a much higher much higher capacity than Indigo Paints ka. Total revenue. So they went and kind of gulped it down, and that was a big shift in their growth story.
Yep.
So this is not something new. This is like manufacturing capability enhancement has been around for a while, especially in certain
countries. Even Shein, for that
question, Sandhu was like manufacturer earlier,
and then became a forward-looking brand.
Yeah, but my limited question is at 2500 crore, Honasa should be putting up a manufacturing facility, right, for BPC.
Yeah.
My limited point is, Chandra, I have never seen any venture capital or private equity or board, like public companies, so there's no board. But I've never seen this as an advice to yaar ki socho karke aise aap. Because somewhere, I think private capital allocators are they like asset-light models. Again, तो tech play ये वो सो, but I think मैं थोड़ा कुछ तो trend दिख रहा है मेरे को यहाँ पे कि भाई ऐसे कैसे कि सबने backward integrate कर रखा है. और by the way, backward integrate करना तो 5 साल का course है, मतलब ऐसा नहीं है कि आज सोचा और कल हो गया करके, right? Getting into manufacturing is a, like, you may, I used to keep thinking about this, Tushar, you may remember, you had done this deal, Desi. The guy put up such a beautiful factory, right? And I'm like, यार इतनी छोटी company है, but you know, it didn't pan out the way it had to do, because the risk was higher. You were not really a manufacturing team, so maybe you didn't anticipate the problems.
But the motivation there was right. Which was ki I need to ensure quality control for my customers. Dental aligners are a very, very high customization category. I cannot give it to someone else to like manufacture it for me. And which is a very bluestone mentality.
Correct.
So different people will have different motivations, and different people will do it at different journeys. It is arguably, one could now hypothesize and say that, oh, Desi actually probably could have used that capital to build the brand out and build the customer acquisition more, and then when they got to a certain scale, upper capacity utilization ho jayega, right?
Yeah.
So in my mind, the framework is this: there is no problem in you wanting to put up a manufacturing capacity till the time you feel that in year 2 or year 3 or at whatever reasonable time frame, you can get it to 80% plus utilization. Because effectively, what you're doing here is you are trading gross margin for OC. Our manufacturing capacity daloge, aapka gross margin bad jayega, but your capital employed will also go up, right?
Yeah.
Aap nahi daloge, gross margin will go down, capital employed will come down. Go up, right? So you will get evened out one way or the other. So where it really makes a difference is the customer value proposition that you want to give. Or that could be fashion trends, that could be quality assurance, that could be customization, right, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think in our case, with health and wellness, I do actually have a very strong view that anything that you're putting inside the body, at scale, quality control is so important. I find it a little worrying if I am not controlling every end of the...
Yeah.
Spectra.
Stress aata hai. Kitna bhi kar lo, alignment of incentives have to be absolute, Like we have, I'll have my quality guy, process control hamara hai, everything. But end mein, yaar, mujhe lagta hai ki, if there is, God forbid, some problem, I will not sleep at night. And I know you will say a contract manufacturer will also say that, yaar, mera number one client hai, to I will also not sleep well at night, kal dhanda chala jayega. But wo nahi hoga, yaar, customer ke mera hai. Like end mein, main realize karta hu ki, yaar, jiska customer hota hai na, sabse zyada dard to usi ko hota hai. So,
while in health and wellness, one bad incident can really ruin the brand position or like the brand trust, basically. You can,
yeah.
Blue Stone case mein bhi yaar, agar 5 logo ko dikh jaye ki hamara jo diamond tha, hume asli bolke laburon chipa diya, so they will also get pissed off, right?
Yeah. And there are potential leakages also in these high AOV things, right? Like jewelry, which is so fine, रिटेल स्टोर पे कोई कुछ मिस सेल करे तो मैं पता भी नहीं चलेगा. तो द बेस्ट वे टू कंट्रोल क्वालिटी इज फ्रॉम बिहाइंड ओनली.
बिहाइंड ओनली, करेक्ट. So yeah, I think this is what it boils down to also, right? Which is that it's a timeless principle, but what that retail businesses have four guiding functions. You are either assortment led, you are pricing led. Sorry, you have to fix the right assortment for the customer audience and value proposition you want to give. Then it's pricing, quality, and convenience. And then on the spectrum of how you are delivering it, you can either be like a pricing led player or you can be a merchandising led player. Like I would argue, Zudio is a pricing-led player, whereas a Rare Rabbit is a merchandising-led player, essentially, right? Or you can put your jewelry guys also in some way or form here. And that forms your voice and positioning as a brand. Now, this step is what I think you have to do before you earn the right to go offline. As a brand or as a retailer, because in this sense, in the EBO world, the brand and retailer is the same, right? So you can use it, juxtapose it interchangeably. Because omnichannel in Bluestone's case means basically having a very popular Instagram page where the consideration happens online, but the purchase happens offline. In Lenskart's case, about 25% of sales are online. And for good reason, because you need to like test my number, then you need to do the grading, polishing of the frame, and then I need to check it because like it's also...
I'm quite surprised it's 25% online. I think it's just, even this would be... सब कुछ डिसाइड हो गया है और वो स्टोर में ही बोल रहे हैं आप ये वेबसाइट पे ये वाला फ्रेम ऑर्डर कर लो क्योंकि कोई यहाँ पे स्टोर में है नहीं, समथिंग लाइक दैट. बिकॉज़
वेल व्हाट दे से इज कि इट इज ऑल ऑर्डर डिलीवर्ड एंड एग्जीक्यूटेड ऑनलाइन. सो कुड बी फैशन, कुड बी सनग्लासेस वगैरह किसी ने पहले कोई यूज कर रखी है, आई डोंट नो, बट 25% इज व्हाट दे हैव ऑनलाइन
और बाय अगेन
एंड
रिपीट ऑर्डर की छोड़ के.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems very high. Yeah. 25%.
And in Wakefit's case, it is about 30% online, right? Which is the standard mattress, etc. category. So as you will see, for all of these businesses, offline has become a much larger part of their business, even though that started much later. And that goes back to the point I was trying to make about scale caps on digital today, and then playing in that 85% of the market that you can't with just pure play online.
But this is again, I know your nice header saying AOV is not the only consideration. I don't see. Yeah, think about this now today. Let's take a Mamaearth example, right? 1,000 crore brand. But AOV is like per product, 100-150 rupees is the mass, the highest selling SKUs and all. And even online, their AOV would be max 1,000. Now, offline, their AOV can be higher if people are buying like 7 products. Let's say I'm in a Reliance retail and I see, but Reliance retail, my shelves is not by brand. Shelf is, if I'm in a face wash section, I'll see Mamaearth as a face wash. Then I have to go to the body wash section to find the body wash jispe Mamaearth dikhega, nahi dikhega mereko, right? And the corollary other side is a for tier 1 India, Quickcom is now replacing GTMT. Tier 2, tier 3, yeah. Meesho has like 250 million transacting users. So even tier 4 tak, your online penetration is only deepening. So I would argue that it's still AOV being the consideration. Like I don't see, and yes, modern trade and GT is offline. Right? I'm only specifically talking about EBO. The EBO model doesn't work.
I wait lene wala tha ki, I completely agree with you on that part. I think again, वही है कि आपको at certain scale you will cap out online, then you will start going offline. Offline has different flavors where there is GT, MT, MBOs, right? And then you have EBOs. For EBOs, you need to have like a high enough AOV to be able to play in that, and a high enough store throughput to be able to play in that. Like if you think about it, like a one good example of a EBO low AOV company was actually Patanjali.
That note, actually, I realized even Honasa is trying EBOs where they're hoping that between their 7 brands, in one look, you will be able to actually get to that 2,000 rupee plus AOV, which makes the EBO model economically viable. Because what 2,000 ke niche to economically viable nahi hai EBO model.
But the question is ki, how many of your brands have relevance for the same person walking into the...
I don't think they've scaled that up, but I think there's an attempt.
But again, Rivaj, it boils down to the same point that effectively is also MBO in the mind of the customer. Na? For the customer, it is MBO. For the company, it might be...
Like a Nykaa or a Purple store is an MBO for beauty personal care.
Correct.
Yeah, I think Hellfire actually has about 200 EBOs from what I hear.
Correct. Exactly.
Because I think what protein mein kya hota hai na, 1 kilo protein is anyway 3000 rupees plus. So, wo bhi solve ho jata hai.
Solve ho jata hai. So, I think to play the EBO game, the higher the AOV, the better for you. And then you, there are very few examples of companies which would have EBOs at a very low AOV scale. But yeah.
Zoodia is the average on Excel.
The other interesting thing which I uncovered from this, I was curious to see that jab log online build kar rahe hote hain, to sales and marketing, Google, Meta is like a big spend. And what happens when you start shifting offline? And what I realized was that for all these three companies, if you add up S&M and rent, that comes together. Because the store location itself is your advertising footprint.
Correct.
The more you see the same brand store over and over again, it gets in your mind. You start trusting the brand more. You think of it as a bigger company, this and that. And which is why I think for you'll see this in the case of Bluestone more so than others. But when these guys start, they start densifying a lot earlier. It's not like one store here, one store there, one store there. It is, let's go to Delhi and let's put like, you know, let's dominate so that we can be available to everyone in Delhi.
Sales and marketing costs kam ho jata hai apne aap, because you start seeing it so much, so apne aap, it's like up holdings across the city.
Holding it right, exactly. Right? And you become more accessible.
But very interesting, everybody's close to 9%. That
and
that
everyone is, S&M and rent, like comes together to 9%. Now, again, here the interesting take is that if you see Lenskart, unka jo hai rent zyada dikhta hai, क्योंकि उनका एओ भी छोटा है. Whereas in Bluestone's case, AOB बड़ा है तो रेंज छोटा दिख रहा है. बट फिर वही जो रेंज छोटा होता है वो Bluestone को SNM में स्पेंड करना पड़ता है थ्रू परफॉर्मेंस मार्केटिंग और थ्रू होर्डिंग्स और थ्रू व्हाटएवर. सो इट्स द इट्स रफली द मैप नेट्स आउट रफली द सेम वे एसेंशियली फॉर स्पेशली फॉर दीस थ्री बिजनेसेस बट आई एम श्योर फॉर ऑल बिजनेसेस एट सिमिलर स्केल्स. द अदर आई फील इज दैट स्पेशली व्हेन यू बिकम फुल्ली वर्टिकली इंटीग्रेटेड योर इन्वेंटरी टर्न्स मैटर अ लॉट टू द to the success of the business. I think from a week filter numbers we should take with a pinch of salt because they've only reported till December of 24. So we don't have the last quarter numbers. So I'm assuming that the inventory turns will look better once they file the full year numbers. But inventory turns are a basic marker of quality in all of these businesses, especially when you're manufacturing on your own. Because utilize karke aapne manufacture kar diya par becha nahi to utilization ka bhi kya fayda, right? So utilization by itself does not mean much. We have to look at utilization in consonance with the inventory turns. But what is again very clear is that a business with higher gross margin starts the baseline on their EBITDA journey also much higher. So like a Lenskart, because it's a 68% gross margin business, and a Bluestone, which is a 38% gross margin business, that extra 10% that you see in EBITDA is basically being driven by gross margin because almost all other headers are the similar. Like employee cost, S&M, rent, wo sab mila jula ke similar ho jata hai. And in Lenskart's case, the gross margin is high.
Kiya ga, wo bhi similar rahega. Matlab,
actually, CaratLane versus Bluestone is an interesting comparison to think.
These are very three different sectors altogether, right? Like within sector, I think Lenskart doesn't have a comparable, unfortunately.
Lenskart doesn't have a comp. But look at CaratLane and Bluestone, they're actually very different businesses. And the reason why I put CaratLane in FY21-23 numbers is that they were at roughly the same scale that Bluestone is today. But look at the difference in throughput per store. Look at the difference in inventory turns. And look at the difference in margins consequentially.
But thoda expansion phase bhi hai na. My assumption is Bluestone would used to be in higher inventory turns before.
Aap dekho FY21-23 dekho. Lenskart, CaratLane went from 117 stores to 222 stores. And in the last 2 years, so they added like, in 2 years, they added about 100 odd stores. And Bluestone has also added 100 odd stores. Or see when they went from 23 to 24. They added 50 stores. They also added 50 stores. So despite having a lower gross margin, by the way, than Bluestone, CaratLane's EBITDA margin and inventory turns were far superior.
No wonder the IPO struggled, na?
Yeah, correct.
The Bluestone IPO.
Yeah.
But the outlook remains favorable because the what I hear on the street is that all these numbers look a little off because most of the network has come in the last 3 years and as it is stabilizing. So I'm an investor in a pet clinic company. I really like a view that, you know, they share, which is EBITDA by clinic for the time period that they have been in, right? More than 24 months, what is the revenue per clinic and EBITDA per clinic? 18 to 24, because And you can just see very clearly that the cohort as it matures actually gets to a very, very reasonable cycle or a year.
So the metric, for that is called same store sales growth, where you track these ki jo aapke like for like stores the, unpe aapka year on year kya growth hua. And there, like if you see, Bluestone has been growing same store sales growth by 15% to 20%. So forget the network expansion, you isolate that. These are like what could happen, but like they are at like 15% to 18% same store sales growth. So if I were looking at a retail business, I would look at these 3-4 things religiously, which is the SSSG, which is their inventory turns and capacity utilization if they have the factory by themselves. But this is what you talked about on how I see the return safe layout from this Bluestone idea. Right. So I think focus on the bottom half of the table. Basically, what the bottom half is telling you is that if you have to earn a 20% IRR on your investment in Bluestone, you need to be in those green boxes. And the Y axis tells you this is EV.
EV. What is the EV today? This is in dollar million, but
this is in dollar million. Yeah, correct.
Today, the business is close to $700-800 million.
No, 1.1 billion EV.
After listing?
This might be 3-4 days old though. The EV today might be 3-4 days old. But basically, net, the point is ki on Y axis, you
almost 8,200 crores. So about 800 million, 900 million.
800 million, yeah.
Huh.
Okay. So assuming it was at a 1.1 billion EV, if you have 20% IRR chahiye Bluestone mein, तो आपको ये ग्रीन बॉक्सेस के अंदर खेलना है, which means that the y axis is how much the EBITDA needs to grow compound till FY29, and how much do you need to get on y axis as 1 year forward EBITDA multiple.
Okay.
So assume that we are sitting in FY28 now, and if I'm able to get 50% CAGR on EBITDA from Bluestone, and it trades at a 45x EV EBITDA, then I will make a 20% IRR on my investment.
At a $2 billion...
$2 billion EV roughly. Now...
But FY28, 1 year forward, Madhav, you're taking a next year view. In next year, you should have visibility that it's EBITDA correct. And now, you're closing it. FY28, 50%. Because technically, it's so low EBITDA. Now, FY25, you're telling 9 million. And 33 million, if it's done FY28, then it's a big deal.
मैं एक फ्रेमवर्क दे रहा हूँ हाउ टू थिंक अबाउट दिस. आई एम नॉट सेइंग मच कि बन रहा है कि नहीं बन रहा. ओके, लेट्स लुक एट द हिस्टोरिकल्स, मे बी दैट विल गिव यू अ फ्रेम ऑफ रेफरेंस. इन्होंने अभी जो है, दे हैव गॉन फ्रॉम 90 मिलियन टू 150 टू 208. तो दे हैव
ग्रेट एक्सपेंशन यार.
हाँ, दे हैव ग्रोन.
बट कितना है सेम स्टोर सेल्स को, ज्यादा नहीं है ना? आई थिंक इट्स बीन अ लॉट ऑफ
वर्क. बाकी सारा नेटवर्क एक्सपेंशन है,
मैं वही बोल रहा हूँ. दैट्स व्हाई द नेटवर्क इज वेरी फ्रेश एंड दैट्स व्हाई द EBITDA seems low. My view is the CaratLane network. I know why you're comparing ki nahi dekho rebat absolute mein humne itne hi add kiye hain 2 saal mein. They already had 200 mature stores or at least 117 mature stores in FY21. Bluestone is a very fresh network. Right? FY23 agar dekhega na tu to 117 hi hoga right soon ka. To
how
ho hai na utna, we call it bake nahi hue stores utne. Though there is one argument to be made ki aap jab densification mein invest karte ho to SSSG bhi ruk jata. So by the way, Domino's faced this between 2015 and 2020. They actually struggled on SSSG because they over-densified. Aur kya, demand couldn't catch up. So then they had to like wait a little for the demand to catch up with that densification. Further, and phir wo, I think jab Swiggy Zomato phir scale hue to thoda sa phir wo scale hua gayi. Now obviously,
I'll give you another frame of reference. Which is that ये जो है सारे इनके ज्वेलरी वाले कॉम्स हैं. Bluestone, Titan, Kalyan, Senco and Thundermill. Kalyan, Senco and Thundermill are more like gold jewelry heavy, which is why their gross margins look low. But their EBITDA margins are good, their inventory turns are very good. That's what these guys thrive on. In Bluestone's case, gross margin is high, but inventory turns are Now, both Thundermill and Bluestone are both growing at 40% EBITDA CAGR. By the way, in the last 3 years, they have grown at 40% CAGR essentially. So what you are expecting from here is that the EBITDA CAGR to structurally go up.
Yeah.
Right. But they trade at FY27 ke hisab se agar aap dekh lo, so they, apart from Bluestone, if you remove that, all of these stocks trade close to 20x 1 year forward EBITDA.
The valuation multiples are quite low.
So what you are underwriting here then is that on one side, your EBITDA CAGR goes up than what it has historically, which you can sure argue that, okay, mera store network expansion mein kam kar dunga, toh mera EBITDA CAGR badh jayega, right? And then the multiple also to expand meaningfully versus comps.
What are other growth avenues for these guys? Like, do they grow outside of network expansion?
Frequency it is more gold heavy where the margins are lower. Bluestone focuses more on diamonds, pole keys, other like sort of studded jewelry as a segment. So one potential way to increase their AOVs and go up is to go to the wedding side and do more gold stuff.
Yeah.
But then that will dilute their brand positioning quite a bit.
margin
कम होगा आपका तो आपका throughput बढ़ जाएगा उधर क्योंकि gold jewelry का demand बहुत ज़्यादा है. I think positioning dilute हो जाएगा. Like Bluestone, I think, which is why I call this like Bluestone's positioning genius, because even though the jewelry industry has existed for a long period of time, CaratLane and Bluestone both picked on that emerging use case, which was considered niche at the time, of being a modern age retailer for the millennial Gen Z consumer who wants to wear a jewelry every day. Right? Our parents jeweler and our jeweler is different effectively, if you think about it. And that is why their genius shows up in different ways on the kind of skews that they do. Like they would do more earrings and rings and chains versus like necklaces that a gold jeweler would do or a wedding wear jeweler would do, right? Mm. Or they would focus more on North India and West India as a market versus a traditional jeweler which would focus more on South India as a market because of cultural preferences there. Like I put this word beauty quotient here because HUL's late Govind Rajan had this beautiful post that he wrote about one day, which was about how East and North and basically Maharashtra are the three pockets where beauty products spend or like fashion products spend per capita is much higher because these are the places where there's like more like consumption spends, more like risk taking with fashion, stylistic choices, preferences. Whereas the South and like Gujarat, Rajasthan, etc., all of these places are much lower. So if you are a company which is retailing in those categories, then you should be targeting Northeast as a market, for example, much earlier than you would if you were selling grocery as a category. And I've seen this in a couple of companies where I was shocked. I think in Purple's case and a couple of other companies I've seen, where if you look at their top 10 cities and Aizwal, some cities inside or some pin codes inside Imphal start showing up in their top 10% very early on in their journey, which would never register on your top 10% pin codes if you're selling a grocery product for basically forever.
That is true.
And yeah, you can see here that their revenue, their network is mostly geared towards North India, and that is where they get the most revenue per store also. Essentially, for their products, but like I said earlier, Bluestone is a offline business with an Instagram page calling itself an omnichannel business.
I love that.
But still, like omnichannel means different things for different companies, so there is no complaint there. But yeah, I think that's a little bit on Bluestone. The other thing I think that I want to take you guys to, given that we were talking about ROCEs and what would happen, is that both Bluestone and Lenskart are actually moving away from franchisees. The traditional philosophy has been that the deeper you go inside the country, you know, you start putting on more franchisee stores. But both of these businesses are actually reducing the number of franchise stores that they have as they are scaling up because they are getting more confidence in their ability to execute the box and they want to deliver the same consistent retail experience all over the board.
That's very. I would love to actually see Sleep Company and Jiva also as columns on this, maybe at a later date, because it will be very interesting to see.
When they find their DRFPs.
Won't be very far, I think.
Yeah. I think Jiva though should be soon enough. Next 18 months, like, is my sense. Sleep Company, I'm not sure.
Itna jaldi kyun? Because sizable hai.
Yeah, thoda purana bhi company hai na, toh thoda pressure toh hoga exit ka bhi.
Kitna purana yaar?
Actually, size bhi hai. Once you are 500 crore revenue and profitable, I think with these models, so it's easy to underwrite. Like, go back to Go Colors.
Easy to, yeah. The public market's also like...
store is close to that scale now. even a California Burritos that scale now. So I'm seeing increasing investor appetite in private equity style plays that used to happen 15 years back. You get into a good, strong, scalable PMF offline retail business. Which
is again, I know I've been making this point earlier also, but I think it is because the time to get to that 100 store is also compressed now. If you were starting out as an online only, if you were starting out as an offline only brand, nah, then your ability to get to that 100 stores, let's say as a benchmark, would have taken you longer because you would have gone city by city, location by location, established customer proposition. If you are online to offline, ja rahe ho na, to aap jo network ko bahut jaldi expand kar sakte ho because a customer already knows Lenskart or knows of Lenskart before you even open your first store in a particular city. So, yeah. While I agree that these are all...
Right, Theo Aromatic, to get to... Theo Aroma has got 100 stores?
Nahi, more, I think 120 odd stores. But Theo Aroma, though, just the family just sold a major part of their stake and private equity buyers bought them just very recently. So, I don't think Theo
Aroma...
Chris Kapp got it, yeah.
No, but that's so, again, Theo Aroma built out offline, right? So, it took a lot longer
to build out... But those are 4 company.
Correct.
But I think us time pe jab wo start hua tha, it started out as a niche family bakery. It didn't start out as a business which is meant to sort of, you know, go win the world types. So, but I do feel that the path to getting to that 100 store number is far quicker if you start as an online first brand than it is to do with an offline first.
Let me flip it today. Like if Theo Aroma were to start as a niche family bakery plus listed on Swiggy, Zomato, plus have packaged food which kind of some of the stuff that has got expiry above around 3 to 6 months which is sold on D2C, then a 25 year journey you're saying can get crunched down to like a
much more compressed. Yeah,
so
let's use some more recent food brand as an example, and you'll see like a Cure Foods, for example, is now planning to go public much earlier than you would see traditional QSR players go public. So I think the time to hit that scale and the time to go public compresses really meaningfully if you start out as online first and then eventually you go offline.
For 3 years.
Sir, mere case mein, like even in Arlevan's case, like his opportunity cost to open offline is so high. Why did he put all those resources? In my case, no one told me, or at least I had to discover this in a very expensive way. Then revenue per store per month is the ultimate goal. If you can get 3,000 rupees revenue per store per month, which I thought ki ye to ho hi jayega. But it's not easy, yaar. Kirane ki dukaan mein 3,000 rupees per store per month is very high. Hum log 1,000 nahi pahunch paate, yaar. So at one point, we had 70,000 stores, of which only 400 were above 1,000 rupees per store per month.
Wow.
Generic advice, offline chale jao, theek hai, but the economy of making offline work, kisi ko pata hi nahi hai.
और ये भी था सेकंड थिंग कि तुम्हारे पास तो रैकेट और कोलगेट इन्वेस्टर है उनके साथ तुम ऑफलाइन करो इतना कोशिश किया बाय द वे आई विल गिव फुल मार्क्स टू कोलगेट फॉर द एफर्ट दैट दे पुट पूरा मोबिलाइज किया न्यू सीईओ न्यू हेड ऑफ सेल्स आरसीओ इज लाइक आवर एक्स कोलगेट का है वो किया बप यू नो होटल में जाके सबको खिलाया ये सब टारगेट्स पीपल हु सेल मैक्सिमम बॉम्बे शेविंग कंपनी विल गेट यू नो मोटरसाइकिल सब कुछ किया बॉम्बे सिटी में मतलब द वर्क्स एब्सोल्युटली नथिंग मूव्ड लाइक नहीं डूड
तो वो तुम्हें ना ये मेरी होती सर व्हाट यू सेड राइट व्हाट आई थिंक 2018 में वी हैड डिस्कस्ड व्हेन वी वर मेकिंग द पीपीटी फॉर द जियो टॉक राइट द प्रोडक्ट प्राइस चैनल फ्रेमवर्क एंड नाउ आई सॉ अरिंदम्स बुक इट्स बिकम लाइक अ न्यू वर्ड ईपीसीएमएफ लाइक तो यार ये ना ऑफलाइन के लिए पूरा अलग ही है ये और बीपीसी के लिए किराना में क्या चलेगा इफ यू डोंट हैव द स्क्यू डेप्थ आप ये फर्स्ट स्टोर पहुंच ही नहीं पाओगे 3,000 रुपए See, Mamaearth works because they have, like, everyone chastised them for adding so many SKUs. But the reason that they were across so many different occasions, across a face wash and a oil and a shampoo and maybe something for the body and a serum and stuff like that, you had the ability to get some throughput. Like, you would have hero SKUs, but tumhe 3 ya 4 chahiye taki tumhara wo utna throughput nikle. Ki tum 3,000 per store kar pao karke. Or you need the top of mind recall of a parachute. Ki bhai tel matlab parachute. Pani ka bottle matlab bislery. Right? Matlab tum fir, you ask for the brand, right? You ask for Amul butter. Like, but us level ka to marketing spend to bahut time lagta hai. Yeah, it takes time in years or lot of money, right? To get to that amount of रिकॉल स्पॉन्टेनियस अवेयरनेस दैट माल तुम्हारा ही बिकने वाला है, एक ही स्क्यू है तुम्हारा बट वही बिक रहा है. बट दीज आर थिंग्स दैट एवरीबडी इज अनकवरिंग ओवर टाइम. वो आई डोंट थिंक वो क्लियर है इको सिस्टम में कि वॉट इज द प्ले बुक फॉर ऑफलाइन. लाइक दैट्स वाई आई एम वेरी क्लियर कि ईवीओ प्ले बुक इज एओवी. एओवी नहीं है तो मत करो, एओवी है तो ट्राई कर लो. इट इज नेसेसरी बट नॉट द ओनली सफिशियंट. देर आर थिंग्स बियॉन्ड दैट एज वेल. बट द सिंपल मेट्रिक इज कि भाई एओवी नहीं है तो सोचो भी मत करके.
लाइक तो कोई पॉइंट ही नहीं है.
सरप्राइजिंग टू सी ब्यूटी पर्सनल केयर प्लेयर्स डूइंग ईबीओज टूडे. मतलब मेरे को देख सोचता हूँ कि यार कैसे वर्क करेगा इकोनॉमिक्स करके ये. बट ठीक है, लोग ट्राई कर रहे हैं, आई एम श्योर मे बी विल लर्न समथिंग. बट मेरे को लगता है कि यार 2,500 रुपए के नीचे अगर तुम्हारा है तो चिता भी है. 100 स्क्वायर फीट है, 200 स्क्वायर फीट है, 500 स्क्वायर फीट है, 1,000 स्क्वायर फीट है, कुछ भी कर लो. 2,000 के नीचे मैथ ही नहीं बैठता. एक्चुअली द अदर कॉरोलरी इज ऑल्सो ट्रू, राइट? गोइंग बैक टू द रोसी और यू नो मॉइक, व्हाटएवर फ्रेमवर्क यू वांट यूज फॉर एन इन्वेस्टमेंट, I have realized that the absolute you need to make approximately minimum 3 crores a year from a EBO outlet. Ideally 5 crore a year. Usse niche na kitne outlet daloge yaar, pagal ho jaoge baal de rahe. Right? Like an ideal business would be close to 5 crores. Because then you know ki aise 100 locations ban payenge, 500 crore ka revenue aayega. But agar tum एक एक डेढ़ करोड़ कर रहे हो, विच वॉज गोइंग बैक टू द क्यूएसआर क्वेश्चन दैट वी हैड, राइट? आई नो देर इज अ चायोस, देर इज अ वाओ मोमो दैट ब्रेक द ट्रेंड, बट दीज आर एक्सेप्शन, दे आर नॉट द नॉर्म, राइट? आईडीली यू
थिंक इज चायोस.
चायोस इज अबाउट 350 करोड़ प्रॉफिटेबल बिजनेस, बट एओवीज कम है, सो दे डोंट मेक दैट 3.5-4 करोड़ पर ईयर पर स्टोर, फॉर एग्जाम्पल. इट बी अ लिटिल लोअर, राइट? अ वाओ मोमो वुड बी इवन लोअर, बट दीज आर एक्सेप्शंस. लाइक अक्रॉस द बोर्ड अ स्केलेबल बिजनेस, क्योंकि 500 पे कहानी रुकनी नहीं है ना, आपको फिर 1,000 भी तो पहुंचना है. लेकिन अगर पब्लिक जाने से लोग बोलेंगे कैलिफोर्निया बरेटो का, 1,000 कैसे पहुंचोगे आप? एंड में देर इज अ लिमिट, लाइक यू कैंट कीप वेटिंग फॉर इंडिया टू बिकम एस्पिरेशनल. अच्छा मैं और लाइक डोमिनोज हैज 2,000 किचन, लोग बोलते हैं यार वो अलग लेवल डेप्थ है यार, 30 साल से वो, एंड इट्स अ मोनोपोली, 70% ऑफ पिज्जा मार्केट इज स्टिल विद देम, राइट? सो
that their revenue per store is like lagbhag 2 crore because the stores are smaller. Yeah.
Nahi, per month.
Per year.
Nahi, nahi. 2 crore per month kaise ho gaya yaar?
Kahan pe dekh rahe ho? Sorry, please line up.
Ye dekho, aap upar wale table mein dekho, sabse last row.
This is for whom?
Lenskart.
Lenskart.
Haan, but this is like the bare minimum, yaar. Oh, bhi bada rahe.
Haan, nahi, wo bare minimum hai. I'm not disagreeing with the framework.
Aur, phir usme bhi sirf ek. I mean, you see the number of Lenskart stores, right? छोटे 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 मतलब कितने डाल दिए उसने, पर वो फिर कितना ही डालोगे यार? How many stores do they have in India?
Yeah, so they have 2,000 stores in India and 650 stores outside of India. Almost 2,100 stores in India actually.
Yeah, but if you see the revenue, it's 40% now outside India. So again, the ARPU is same. Like I, from what I hear, Mokobara's Dubai store does like way more than
yeah, वो तो हो
what the
ये तो
वही इवेंचुअली तो इंडिया में आई नो वी आर प्रीमियमाइजिंग, बट द प्रीमियमाइजिंग इज नॉट एट अ लेवल कि आप 4,000-5,000 स्टोर कर पाओगे. नहीं होगा. एट सम पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम द इकोनॉमिक्स विल स्टार्ट ब्रेकिंग.
ब्लूस्टोन इज एट रफली 6 करोड़ पर स्टोर रेवेन्यू.
कैरेट लेन वुड बी हायर.
कैरेट लेन इज एक्चुअली ऑल्सो 6 करोड़ पर स्टोर. सॉरी, कैरेट लेन इज 13 करोड़ पर स्टोर.
हाँ, काफी ज्यादा है. थोड़ा प्रीमियम कस्टमर है, थोड़ा सा. इट्स अ लिटिल मोर प्रीमियम ब्रांड देन ब्लूस्टोन. एंड टाइटन वुड बी क्रेजी. टाइटन वुड बी क्लोज टू आई थिंक 30-40 करोड़ पर स्टोर.
टाइटन का कितना है? हां, टाइटन ब्लेंडेड विद द दिस कैरेट लेन इज 18 करोड़ पर स्टोर.
हां, बट भाई कैरेट लेन हटाएगा तो आई थिंक 30 करोड़ राइट से
कुछ बढ़ जाएगा. हां, एंड देन इवन आवर फ्रेंड्स एट वेकफिट, हाउ मच आर दे आर एट? I don't think I have their store count. I think they have some 70 odd stores. So, agar aap unka top line dekhoge, offline, actually, unke liye karna thoda mushkil hai because offline mein they put both regular as well as MBOs, like their own COCO plus MBOs. So, you can't disaggregate that. And even in D2C, or even in online, they aggregate D2C and marketplaces. So, wo aap unka thoda mushkil hai to disaggregate. So, I did this what you have to believe activity for everyone. So, for Lenskart, the what you have to believe, let's say if they list at 7,000 crores, or sorry, 6,000 crores, is
6 billion.
To make it.
I heard 9-10 billion is the ask. 60,000 crores, I think. From what I hear, the ask for IPO is 9 billion.
Haan, but from what I hear from bankers, it's probably lower. The what they get is probably lower.
6 billion.
6 billion gas pass types. So, if you have 20% error by FY28, then you need to believe that it grows earnings by, let's say, 35% and gets a 35x 1 year forward multiple, which seems pretty reasonable. Potentially, given India international, dono milakar, seems that they can hit that. And for Wakefit, what does that math look like? Is as follows. For Wakefit, listing at 5,000 crores, there they probably just need to make like 30% EBITDA CAGR and get to a 35x multiple. And so again, seems like that these two are, if they happen at the prices that we are discussing here, could be like well-priced IPOs versus the Bluestone, which still feels like a bit of a stretch case.
I love it how Tushar says na, ki abhi yahan se 20% aaya na chahiye, to CAGR on EBITDA is 40-50% post-listing. So, Shantanu, listing to dur ki baat hai, uske baad Tushar jaisa koi baithega bolega ki acha yaar yahan se 40% CAGR mein, so to bike.
It is sir, in a multiple bhi main aapko pura benefit de raha hu na, main to fir waisa nahi hai to.
Nahi, oh, you know, we had this episode on value creation and wealth versus status, and I think he saw those two episodes. My team really liked it. Yaar, aap na pura matlab public kar dete ho ki aapki expectation kya hai. I'm like, bhai, value creation ke liye dekh raha hai, to kya demand hoti hai investors ki?
Yaar, today a very interesting article came out. Someone had written an editorial where they were saying, boss, you can't be growing your EPS as an index by 10% if you have to be the second most expensive stock market in the world, right? And that is what we have delivered in FY25. The earnings growth has been 10% only. So then, like, if you deserve these rich multiples, then you also have to show that, back that up with performance, right? And which is why all the FIs have been basically selling, because relative to their portfolio, India feels very expensive relative to the earnings growth that we are seeing here. And
we don't have the NVIDIAs and the Metas of the world throwing up cash like crazy. Wo to hai nahi apne paas. Aur hai, but wo unka growth nahi actually. There is a reliance on a TCS, but unfortunately, they are growing at like less than 10% year on year. That is the big problem.
So then you have like a expensive stock market. So then, like, wo multiple or growth ka math same hi hoga na. Agar 10% growth kar raha hai koi, to usko milega fir 15x, right? So matlab wo waisa ko dikhna padega saath mein. Abhi to kya ho raha hai ki domestic capital is keeping the markets up, because humne capital ko har taraf se boxing kar diya hai. कि तुम जो है बाहर किसी भी तरह से पैसा भेज नहीं सकते हो, इन्वेस्ट नहीं कर सकते हो, कुछ नहीं है. तो एंड ऑब्वियसली एज द ऑडियंस इज बिकमिंग यंगर एंड यंगर, रिस्क एपेटाइट इज गोइंग अप, एंड देयर व्हाट इज द एवेन्यू टू स्पेंड मनी ऑन अपार्ट फ्रॉम लाइक द इंडियन स्टॉक मार्केट्स एसेंशियली, राइट? आपने वारेंजी भी यार जी बिहारी तो कैसे
तो किधर अदर थिंग वाज, आई डोंट नो इफ यू सॉ द वी शट डाउन अ लॉट ऑफ post offices are getting shut down because nobody now does any dark, right? So now the postmen are being asked to go and sell mutual funds. So matlab bhai gajab teji aane wali hai market mein, matlab sab mutual fund bechenge, sab SIP layenge, SIP
se bahut expensive ho gaya market.
Aur dusri taraf se aapko domestic mutual funds ko kuch karna, matlab kuch kar hi nahi sakte, they have to deploy cash in the market, right? So to ab hamare paas koi option hai nahi, we can't invest outside. तो इसलिए जो है जो कर सकते हैं, दे आर वोटिंग विद देयर फीट एंड सेलिंग इंडिया एंड बाइंग समथिंग एल्स.
बट यार खुश रहो यार तुषार, मैं बोल रहा हूँ, इट्स बीन 76 इयर्स सिंस वी हैव बीन ट्राइंग टू बी सेल्फ रिलायंट. इट्स ग्रेट ना कि इफ यू डिजाइन द सिस्टम इन सच अ वे दैट देश ही देश को आगे बढ़ाएगा, तो अच्छी बात है, वी शुड बी हैप्पी अबाउट इट.
इट कम्स बैक टू द सेम थिंग, द ओनली वे इट विल हैपन इज इफ वी मेक आवर ओन स्टफ एंड क्रिएट वैल्यू, व्हिच ब्रिंग्स अस बैक टू ब्लूस्टोन एंड लेंसकार्ट फैक्ट्रीज.
हां, हम ये भी डालेंगे, हम ही बनाएंगे, हम ही रिटेल दुकान डालेंगे, हम ही को बेचेंगे, राइट? अब तक तू नहीं खरीदेगा बोल के कि नहीं यार बॉम्बे शेविंग का रिजर्व अच्छा नहीं है या आपका सप्लीमेंट अच्छा नहीं है, मेरे को यूएस वाला माल चाहिए, तो वो नहीं चलेगा यार. यू हैव टू इन्वेस्ट इन द कंट्री, यू हैव टू बाय.
वही कह रहा ना, वो हम लोग जो है किसी और का लाइफ स्टाइल फाइनेंस करते, अपना नहीं करते.
नहीं नहीं यार, गेटिंग टू दैट स्टेज वेयर at least interestingly I'm seeing social media amplify the sab apna apna dekh lo, राइट, ट्रम्प बोल रहा है कि भाई तुम सब छोड़ो हम अपना करेंगे, हम बोल रहे ठीक है भाई हम अपना करेंगे. तो एटलीस्ट फॉर मी द बिगेस्ट रियलाइजेशन वॉज डैम फनी राइट. सो व्हेन द टैरिफ न्यूज ब्रोक After 2 days, my wife was like, क्या चल रहा है करके यार, वैसे कैसे 50% tariff डाल दिया यार ये, I'm going to stop buying US stuff now. Just you know, I'm going to stop buying China stuff now for like so many years. Like मैं इतना BYD बोल रहा हूँ यार, BYD नहीं 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 China है, मैं मेरे को नहीं चाहिए, चलो ठीक है. अब बोल रही है कि US वाला भी खरीदने करके, तो आई एम लाइक तू ब्रश करना छोड़ देगी क्या, आई एम लाइक कोलगेट यूज करते हैं हम, US कंपनी है. मैंने बोला अरे देश में यही तो दिक्कत है क्या, नहीं है US से तुम बताओ करके राइट. I'm just seeing it. It's at least I'm seeing even the normal people who are away from all of this. And my wife, actually, I really like her sanity because she's away from all of this nonsense that we see in our ecosystem. Right? Hum to din bhar aur hi bapre ye ho gaya. Like you said, normal day in life of Indians, right? 6 weeks mein dunia badal jati hai karke. But I'm seeing that rally cry now saying ki nahi yaar ab pehle wo thoda sa we'll not buy Chinese stuff or we'll not buy US stuff. I'm like bhai, but sab kuch to US se aata hai. But at least most companies that have become large in India, you look at FMCG or auto or whatever it is, right? Have in the end, most of that is outside, right? Very few homegrown companies in that sense that have truly actually just got built. And even they obviously used FDI from the US. Like Eternal was a great benefactor of all the venture capital, private equity money that we got from the US, right? So in that sense, बट आई लाइक स्टिल द गवर्नमेंट यू की देखो सब अपने फायदे के लिए कर रहे थे ठीक है, कोई हमारे देश को बढ़ाने के लिए इन्वेस्ट नहीं कर रहे थे, सबको दिख रहा था कि आई एन आर बनेगा इसलिए कर रहे थे, तो अब आई एन आर बनेगा बट हमारे टर्म से बनेगा. आई थिंक आई मीन
तो आप तो आई फ्लिप इट राइट. आई थिंक व्हाइल इट द नैरेटिव साउंड्स गुड, आप क्या लग रहा है कि जो लोग जो है स्टॉक मार्केट में ऐसा डाल रहे हैं आज के डेट में, वो इसलिए डाल रहे ताकि अपना आई एन आर बने, इसलिए डाल रहे हैं कि देश आगे बढ़े?
आई एन आर के लिए कर रहे हैं, वी आर ऑल कैपिटलिस्ट नो. And in the end, some way or form, people will try to control that. Ki yaar, whether it is, ab zyada paisa bana rahe ho, toh theek hai, thoda tax badh jayega.
I think Chirag is not here, but I want to just bring attention to one more page, which is this one, which goes back to the last episode, where we were talking about convenience fee and platform fee. Lenskart ka 11% EBITDA is coming from subscription fees. They keep renaming the program. It was called Lenskart Gold, then it was called Lenskart Gold Pro, then it became Lenskart Gold Pro Max.
Yeah.
But 11%, that's meaningful.
11% of their EBITDA comes from subscription fee.
Like subscription fee is 13 million. EBITDA will be whatever, like 10 times more than the subscription fee.
But yeah, I think inka na India mein hai, Tushar. So if you remove their revenue and EBITDA from outside, actually it will be close to 60-70% of India EBITDA. Bahar is more profitable than India. Yeah. Bahar is 40% of revenue, so approximately 60% of EBITDA. Mm-hmm. So if you actually take this as India members, right, also have Bahar.
Yeah.
Because they're not integrated. They call it Owndays only. They have not rebranded it to
this. Just call it Owndays, yeah.
Yeah, so this is only India, actually. Huh. Or whatever, some stores in the Middle
this
East.
This is like even more, right? Like,
yeah.
That is
yeah.
even more meaningful
then. Yeah, I might chakradar also. Like the Country Delight subscription fee also is a big chunk of their revenue now. It's like 5-8% of the revenue itself. So at some point, it will probably be a majority of the EBITDA if they continue in the same assortment as they have today. And that's fine. And that's
operationalize the strategy, Shantanu. Ki 3 saal mein kaise Bombay Shaving pe there is a subscription fee. मोनेटाइजेशन फॉर क्रिएटर्स ऑन यूट्यूब एंड इंस्टाग्राम बोथ, विच इज जस्ट जो चाइना ने पॉपुलराइज कराया था ना, विच इज द गिफ्टिंग की आप इतना पैसा दे दो करके टाइप
फिशिंग टिपिंग कहते हैं उसको. हां मतलब वो इट्स एक्चुअली
मेंबरशिप टिपिंग द सिग्निफिकेंट आई नो स्टिल लॉट ऑफ योर यूज फॉर सॉफ्ट पॉर्न बट दैट्स हाउ इट स्टार्ट्स एवरीथिंग इज दैट्स द इजीएस्ट प्लेस टू स्टार्ट राइट. बट देन धीरे 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 आई थिंक इफ आई लुक एट द माइक्रो ड्रामा थिंग ऑल्सो इट्स लाइक लिटिल सिमिलर देयर राइट, कि आपको टीज करेंगे एक एपिसोड के साथ बट दूसरा एपिसोड चाहिए तो फिर 10 रुपए दो एंड स्टफ लाइक दैट. सो आई थिंक दैट आई थिंक द people are getting very used to in some way or form being okay with this. कि हम छोटे-छोटे bite size payment हर जगह करते रहेंगे for access.
रेवान वो तो आपका favorite topic है.
I know.
UPI auto pay.
UPI auto pay पे अलग ही वापस episode बन जाएगा. छोड़ दे अभी के लिए.